Pastor Jeff Durbin uses a cuss word to get his point across in a recent message, and his apologists defend him using liberal tactics. And also, the man who exposed Planned Parenthood for selling baby body parts explains how Kamala Harris attempted to silence him. Stay with us as we look at these and other stories on the 5:11 News.
Now, there are two kinds of people in the world, only two kinds, not black and white, not rich and poor. There are those who are dead in sin, and there are those who are dead to sin.
After three nights of unbridled lawlessness across London, the contagion is spreading.
The problem is that God has already judged this. He has judged murder already. I don't need to question it. I don't need to ask and wonder what his plan is.
We're commanded as Christians not to participate in the works of darkness, but expose them.
Welcome back to the 5:11 News. I'm your host, Chad Davidson of Good Fight Ministries. And on today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about cussing. Yes, about profanity, because of a recent message that was given where the pastor decided to use such language to get his point across. And for me, while that was a story in and of itself, I thought it was really interesting how quickly those who are trying to expose woke, quote unquote, pastors become woke themselves, and their adherents as well, the apologists of practicing such things, will also sound quite woke. And you're going to hear a quote that I will actually quote from a full-blown liberal that you guys probably, if you've been involved with the 5:11 News of Good Fight Ministries, have heard from before. But I wanted to go over that, and I wanted to talk about the taming of the tongue, because it is something that is so important as the body of Christ, that we know that it is important to have self-control and to tame the tongue. So we're going to talk about that. And also, we just had the debate here on Wednesday with the two vice presidential candidates, one being the incumbent in Mr. Mike Pence, and the other one trying to be the next vice president in Kamala Harris. And so we're going to talk a little bit about her, because I think people don't realize just how wicked that woman is. And I think it's really good for you guys to hear some of the stuff that she has done in her past and will continue to do, and some of the stuff that if they are elected, they will try to do here in this country. And so we're going to be talking about that, but I want to give you a little bit of the background. In a recent message by Pastor Jeff Durbin of Apologia Church, Apologia Radio, I know under their umbrella is this show Cultish. I know James White is involved there as well. And he recently did a message concerning Black Lives Matter and the woke church. And I would say if you listen to it, you'd probably amen about 95% of it in terms of what's going on. I think some of his tone maybe could be dropped back a little bit, but there are times where we should have a tone of consternation. There are times where we need to preach with fire as well, and I have no problem with that. And I have no problem quoting Ezekiel and talking about the whoredoms that Israel had committed, and that they were spreading their legs for any passerby. And we can use that language because it's biblical to use such language. But there is other language we shouldn't use, especially when it's simply for shock value. And I had come across the post that Apologia had done, because I follow them on Facebook. I follow a number of different people on there. But their post, and I really get, I have a struggle with this a lot of times. Because when you immediately, before anyone even hears it, in your own post, almost give yourself an apologetic, it shows me there shows me that you probably know deep down there's something wrong with what you said. And I don't like things that are simply said for the purpose of shock value. I get really frustrated with that. And in the recent clip, and I'm not going to play it because I don't play cuss words for you guys typically, and I know we could blurt it out, but not blurt it out. We could take it out of the message and block it out so you guys don't hear it. But I was going to read what he posted alongside of it, and this is what Apologia Studios posted 3 days ago, or 4 days ago, I'm sorry, concerning the clip in which he used profane language. He said, "Jeff Durbin confronts the woke church. Warning, this clip is not for those with commitments to pious language that would make the prophets look bad. They often used worse. And then he goes about his confronting of the modern woke church. Interestingly enough, I've never seen apologia, and maybe you can correct me, I've never seen them use the language in their post that they would simply consider pious, and that would make not make the prophets blush, so to speak. And this is a great time to think about what it is when we talk about cursing and cussing and profane language, because I think there are a lot of issues where people, a ton of Christians, think there is nothing wrong with being just like the world and cussing like a sailor. And I think it's pretty sad. And I remember when Mark Driscoll was considered the cussing pastor back in the day, and guys like John MacArthur and people came out against such a notion that people would have lips that would spew the same things that the world spews. And then to compare them, and this is something that I hear used over and over again, to compare the language used by the prophets and to compare that with using cuss words in our modern culture. And then I actually heard in this message, Jeff Durbin, while talking specifically about his usage of a word that he was going to use on purpose, and that word, the acronym for that would be BS, but he actually said it. And he used that, and he said, you know, sometimes even Paul in Philippians 4:3 used this language. And when he said scubula, and that's where I'm going to say I have a difference of opinion exegetically, also historically, how the word is used when it talks about all these things I count as rubbish compared to knowing Christ Jesus, our Lord, the surpassing value of knowing him. But I will say this, there are those ignorant concerning the subject. In fact, I was reading an article by a Biola professor named Gary Manning Jr., to which he admitted that in the past, when teaching, even in Greek, he would teach people this word, and that, hey, look, even Paul used profane language when he talked about the surpassing value of knowing Christ and comparing it to everything else in the world and comparing it to rubbish, refuse, rubbish, garbage, or dung, and he used a curse word. But what's interesting is he has said, after looking at it and after studying it, that he found the exact opposite, that the word that was used, and yes, there's a reason why when you look at this and everybody uses this exact example from the New Testament, this is the only example that they will use of a foul mouth language being used, because this is the only one that they're going to try to grab after. Because there's not a bunch of stuff where, oh yeah, it was totally normative for them to use foul language at that time. And it's just not true. It's not true. And I'm not even saying that Jeff Durbin would say that, but he did use this text and use the word scubula as a word that would be used as a profane language, and that Paul used it. But as I said, Gary Manning Jr., and I'm going to read from his article, did the Apostle Paul use profanity? Because he specifically talks about curse words, what they are, and how that word specifically was used. And that's typically, guys, when you're thinking about how a word is used at that time, you look at other literature at that time and see, was it used? Was it used as a profanity? Was it used in this way or that way? And how was it used at that time? Because it tells us how the authors would have used it at that time. So I'm going to read just straight from the article so you guys can get a good understanding. It said, but unlike drat or dung, a real swear word is one that won't use around your mother, to use a technical linguistic definition of profanity. They are not used in, quote, polite society. With that in mind, I did a search of two exhaustive databases of ancient Greek literature, Persuis and Thesaurus Lingua Graecia. I have no idea how to say that properly, but nonetheless, to see if scubula functions as a swear word in Greek. I discovered that nowhere in all of ancient Greek literature is there a clear example of scubula functioning as a swear word or even as a rude word. I found not a single place where it was used as an insult, invective, curse, or interjection. In fact, the normal use of scubula in ancient Greek scholarly literature makes it almost impossible that it was a swear word. Here is the evidence for my claim, a list of known uses of scubula in ancient Greek texts. Medical text, Artaeus and Cappadocian, 1st century AD, and Serranus, 1st and 2nd century AD, Galen, 2nd century AD, and others. When describing disease symptoms, ancient doctors sometimes mention the conditions of a patient's feces, scubula. For example, Areteus says that jaundice is often accompanied by scubula, a white enclave. All right, I don't want to get too deep into that, but it's also used in geography in 1st century AD by Strabo. Smyrna's streets lack proper drainage so that when it rains, the filth, the scubula, lies on the surface of the streets. Josephus, a historian, obviously a lot of you guys would know Josephus, a historian from the 1st century. At the siege of Jerusalem, starvation was so severe that some of the people went to search the common sewers and old dunghills of cattle and to eat the dung, the scubula. Plutarch, Philo, Ben Sirach, Sibylline, Greek anthology, 1st and 2nd century. Once again, over and over again, we see this word and the usage not in a means for cuss words, but literally Paul specifically using that word to describe rubbish, dung, where, you know, things where the dogs would go, where the you'd throw out to the dogs. Okay. So even in the church fathers, they use this terminology dozens of times, but every occurrence is in the quotation of Paul from Philippians 3, verse 8. So we don't just throw these things around. We don't just throw this word around and act as though, you know, oh yeah, it's good to use foul language just to get your point across, because Paul did it. Paul used bad language, so we should use it as well. I think that is such a ridiculous notion. And for the pastor, and I think this is really interesting when we put this all into an understanding and perspective according to Scripture. When you think of James chapter 3, most people would point to that text as the text that tells us to bridle the tongue, a text that tells us how powerful the tongue can be. You see, when people take Proverbs 18:21 out of context and act like we're little gods that can create or kill with our tongue, we recognize that life and death is in the power of the tongue, and that somebody like Adolf Hitler, who really probably outside of himself didn't use his own hands to kill anybody, used his oratory skills and used his rhetoric in order, and so he used his tongue in order to kill. And we recognize that we preach the gospel and that faith comes by hearing the words of Christ, and we use our tongue to preach that gospel. And guess what? People are saved by grace through faith. When you come to faith, the Bible says that you believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died according to Scripture, he rose again according to Scriptures, and that you confess with your mouth. We recognize that life and death in that sense is in the power of the tongue. Not that we create, nor that we kill with our tongue, but the fact is that it can cause a lot of damage, and it also can save, because in Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 through 37, when it talks about ultimately what you are speaking out of your mouth is what is in your heart, and out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And Jesus said these words, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned," because what you say with your lips, what you say and comes off of your tongue, is ultimately what is typically in your heart. And it's something that I think of in James when he gives us these analogies of this great fire that starts with such a little, this great, you know, burning down entire, you know, forest, so to speak. And it all starts with this little fire, and that's how the tongue is set on flames from hell. But he says this, right before going into all these analogies of the rudder that moves an entire ship, on the bridle the, also the horse, these beasts, you know, that are used to bridle, such a small thing considering the tongue, but yet it can move entire ships. He says this right before that. "Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment." And notice what he says in that context, for connecting the previous thought with the next statement, "For we all stumble in many ways," right? So when we talk about us all stumbling, he is classifying a stumbling of the tongue, which he goes forth after this, that this is so common. Knowing how common it is to stumble with our tongue, we should recognize that not everyone should become teachers, because you have a stricter judgment. So what it means is you shouldn't lack self-control, and you better not be the person that says, "I'm going to plan out in my message to say a curse word for shock value," because that is exactly what woke teachers do. Some people accidentally in their anger, or maybe it's the things that they listen to, whether it's the music or movies that they're meditating on over and over again. We need to recognize so clearly that we need to have self-control, for the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. The fruit of the flesh is outbursts of anger. You are not bridling your tongue when you are forcing yourself to use foul language. You need to repent. Ephesians 4:29 says no unwholesome speech should come out of your mouth. Colossians chapter 3 verse 8 says no profane language should come out of your mouth. You need to be able to bridle it, and you certainly shouldn't put it in your notes that you're going to cuss up a storm, or even if you're just going to say a cuss word. And it's one thing to point out the fact that the Bible specifically shows the whoredoms of Israel and uses that strong language to talk about them whoring themselves out to other nations. It's another to say, well, this blankety blank, blank, blank. I just don't understand how you could come to that conclusion. And it's one that over and over again is used also, and I've heard this a number of times, by liberal teachers. We're not talking about simply pious language. We're talking about having self-control. Have self-control that you don't have to use that language and still get your point across. I think that's really important to recognize the two differences, that you lack self-control or for some reason want to be the woke pastor who's able to say curse words and get people excited about them, right? Oh yeah, we can use this language. So check this out. We're just like the world. It's really cool. I really like that. And you know what's funny is I saw over and over again on Twitter, people being like, I see people are so upset about Jeff Durbin saying a cuss word, but you're less upset about the woke church ruining all these different denominations and blah, 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 blah. Oh, you know what that's called? It's a false dichotomy. Interestingly enough, everyone's favorite liberal, Tony Campolo, used that in a book, and I'll quote it. Quote, I have three things I'd like to say today. First, while you were sleeping last night, 30,000 kids died of starvation or diseases related to malnutrition. Second, most of you don't give a blank. What's worse is that you're more upset with the fact that I said blank than the fact that 30,000 kids died last night. That's a false dichotomy. Caring about children dying of starvation, and if you love Jesus, you care about his people, you care about children, he gives you a new heart that you now care about them if you didn't before. That doesn't mean that we need to cuss in order to get that point across. And to say that because someone is upset, you decided to use foul language to get your point across, to say that, say, hey, I don't like that you use foul language. It's good that you're pointing out this. It's simply a false dichotomy that I cannot both be upset that the child is dying and also be upset that you try to use foul language in order to be woke. And this is exactly what I saw on Twitter all day long yesterday after the video went out and Jeff Durbin had cussed during his sermon and everyone hears it. And then guess what? Guess what? Let me tell you a story. My wife had talked with one of her friend's boyfriends at the time. And they were having a discussion, and a big problem was that he had no problem using foul language. And he's like, dude, you sound like the world. You don't sound like you have self-control. And they would debate this, the boyfriend and girlfriend, all the time. Say, there's nothing wrong with it. There's no problem. Okay, whatever. Then one day, as they've been debating this over and over again, a pastor here in our hometown decided to say a joke, and that joke contained profane language. And you should have saw, and you could ask my wife about this, you should have saw the smirk on that young man's face when he got to walk over and said, see, even my pastor cusses. And he was given that license over. Here you go. And you know what's sad, though, is that same person who was so excited about his pastor cussing didn't pay attention to the pastor repenting who said, I should have never said that the next week. Right? They didn't pay attention to that part because they wanted to have something that in their flesh they could do and feel really cool doing it, being like the world. And it's really sad. So I don't want to hearken on this too much, but let's be believers who bridle our tongues. Let's be believers who recognize our self-control and recognize how you can ruin your witness. You can ruin your witness by the way you speak to other people and the coarse language that you use. There's nothing wrong with being firm in your language. There's nothing wrong, but we all know, each and every one of us knows exactly what we're talking about when we talk about four-letter words. Let's not act like we're too stupid to understand it. You're not. You are not too stupid to understand what a cuss word is inside of your culture. That's why when you go to another culture and you start speaking, they tell you, oh, that's a curse word. Don't use that. It happens all the time in Mexico. Kids use words that they heard here in Simi Valley from a couple of their Mexican friends growing up, and somebody tells them, oh, that's a bad word, don't use that. We all know. We all are within society, just like other societies have a different word for God as well. Even in the scriptures, you have things like Hashem, you have same things like Adonai, right? And we know, each one of those, that those words in that culture, they mean a certain thing. We understand that. And to act ignorant is just to act ignorant so you can be without self-control. And so let's not be that way. And let's not try to be people that purposely use that language in order to get a point across so we can really sound woke, because it's pathetic. Nonetheless, with all that, this one bothers me. I know I bring it up all the time, but if there's one topic I can bring up all the time, it's about babies being murdered. Another one should be babies' parts being sold in order to, guess what? Make money off those dead babies. Make money off the babies that were murdered. And videos that went out to actually let people know that that's exactly what is taking place. And I have an extended clip, but I thought it was powerful enough that I would show you, because for you, I'm not a single issue voter. If the single issue is murdering babies, you need to be a single issue voter or you're pathetic. I'm sorry. Let's be a single issue voter. Like I said last week, if you're like, you know what? I'm not a single issue voter if you had the chance in Germany, but you look at these people being baked and cooked behind you and like, well, that's just one issue. I don't want to bother with that. But that's exactly what happened with babies. They're being torn apart, ripped apart to shreds. Their bodies being sold. And also the parts that aren't sold are being thrown inside of a can in the back in a solution after murdering them. Let's be single issue on that. But nonetheless, I want to play this clip, because if you don't know anything about Kamala Harris, just know exactly from this clip what she did to the man who exposed Planned Parenthood for the disgusting people who they are, the money makers that they are off dead babies and their parts. Tony, let's play the clip.
What we have all known, and Planned Parenthood for certain has known, is that we can never take for granted that any of the gains that we have achieved will be permanent.
We cannot go backwards, and we cannot tolerate a perspective that is about going backwards.
I'm David Leiden, and I'm the founder and project lead with the Center for Medical Progress. 5 years ago, my undercover videos caught Planned Parenthood's top leadership trafficking and selling the body parts of aborted infants. America's biggest abortion business was desperate and furious, so they turned to their political patron, then California Attorney General Kamala Harris, for help.
She's standing beside us, strong.
At Planned Parenthood's special request, Kamala Harris targeted me to punish and silence my message about the abortion industry and fetal trafficking. I'm not the first person to ever record undercover video in California. Local news reporters routinely record and publish undercover video exposing factory farming, corrupt medical practices, and unlicensed marijuana vendors. Yet somehow, I have become the first person to ever have the California video recording law enforced against me for news gathering.
We will celebrate the fact that we know how to fight. We will celebrate the fact that we are prepared to fight.
Kamala Harris met in secret with a group of California Planned Parenthood executives in Los Angeles in March 2016. While she was running for U.S. Senate and promoting Planned Parenthood in her campaign. Action items from the meeting show that they discussed Planned Parenthood's legislative agenda in California, as well as Planned Parenthood's lies that my videos contained threats. With two of the Planned Parenthood witnesses in Kamala Harris's investigation present at the political meeting. Less than 2 weeks later, Kamala Harris sent 11 California DOJ agents to raid my one-bedroom apartment. with explicit instructions from Planned Parenthood to seize the computer and video equipment that I was using to publish the undercover videos. California Penal Code 632 prohibits secretly recording a confidential communication without the consent of all parties, and defines confidential as a communication that you cannot reasonably expect will be overheard by other people. So my team was scrupulous to record our California videos in places of public accommodation like crowded restaurants, where the conversations were obviously overheard. But you can't necessarily say the same thing about local TV reporters in California who have taped inside of private doctors' offices and inside of private homes. Yet not a single one of them has ever been charged with undercover video recording in California in the 60-year history of California's video recording law. Mine is the first and only case. And there's another piece to the California video recording law that specifically allows recording even a confidential conversation in order to gather evidence relating to violent crimes. The entire purpose of our video recording in California was to document and expose the violent crimes of fetal trafficking, including selling infants aborted alive and killing them through organ harvesting and medical battery against pregnant women. If those aren't crimes of violence, I don't know what is. But Kamala Harris's investigation never even considered our purpose or addressed those crimes, even though local Southern California law enforcement prosecuted and shut down two of Planned Parenthood's business partners based on my video recordings. By the way, those business partners, the Da Vinci companies, they actually admitted guilt in a $7.8 million settlement for illegally selling body parts from abortions at Planned Parenthood Orange County. Who was the top abortion doctor for Planned Parenthood Orange County supplying those body parts? Dr. Jennifer Russo, one of the participants in the March 2016 meeting with Kamala Harris and one of the Planned Parenthood witnesses. You have to wonder, if I had been investigating unsafe grocery handling practices, animal abuse, or unlicensed gun sales, would Kamala Harris have ever thought to pursue video recording charges against me? It's pretty obvious that the reason that I alone was targeted by Kamala Harris is because I dared to criticize Planned Parenthood and the abortion industry. What Kamala Harris did isn't treating people fairly or equally under the video recording law. In fact, Kamala Harris's deputy prosecutor, Jeanette Jarone, admitted in a court filing that the reason her office targeted me alone among all undercover reporters in California was because my videos were, quote, edited for shock value, and that made me, quote, more culpable than other undercover reporters in California. Obviously, I dispute the characterization that my videos were edited for shock value. What they show Planned Parenthood doing is shocking enough. But more importantly, it is your First Amendment right to promote the significance of your own message. When she said that I was targeted because of the content of my videos, Kamala Harris's deputy prosecutor admitted that the reason that I was targeted and I alone was to punish what I have to say. Planned Parenthood sells baby parts. That's why I'm suing Kamala Harris, the California Attorney General, Planned Parenthood and others in Los Angeles federal court for conspiracy to violate First Amendment civil rights. This is crucial to defend the First Amendment rights of all Americans to report on issues that matter and to listen to what we have to say to each other without fear of government punishment. Selling body parts is a crime. Reporting on it is not. I will never bow to the tyrannical vision of leaders like Kamala Harris, who believe that they are entitled to tell us what to think, what to believe, and what to say.
When the scriptures teach that money is the root of all sorts of evil, in fact, the love of money, and then you see Kamala Harris meeting with Planned Parenthood, you got to wonder how much money was given to Kamala Harris. You got to wonder how much money was given to her campaign in order to push this stuff. And it's interesting, if you watch those videos, and I did, edited for shock value, if you're not shocked about a baby being ripped apart and sold, you have seared your conscience to a place that I didn't know existed, right? I mean, if you're not shocked by that. But I just want to encourage you, and I try not to do too many political things, but this is important, guys, because I see so many younger people getting caught up by TikTok videos and Twitter telling them that single issue voters, that you know, I'm not a single issue voter, so I'm totally fine with baby murder. You need to repent and turn to Jesus.
The 5:11 News with Chad Davidson has been brought to you by Good Fight Ministries, bringing you news and commentary from a Christian perspective. This show can be heard every Friday wherever podcast shows are available, or visit 511news.org. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to being with you next week on the 5:11 News.